kids come back forward. I'm just going to let Braxton stay up here.
You guys can give children time if you need to respect their status.
So I can tell you, if you ever want to throw a preacher off, move their pulpit. I think it's been a very long time since I stood up on a stage without a pulpit. It's kind of an odd thing to do as we began this morning. Open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12 is where we'll be primarily this morning. We'll be also throughout the New Testament as well. I shared with our early service and want to share with you this morning. I was looking through some pictures of last Easter. Now, if you remember a year ago, Easter was a little bit different than what it was this year. Last year, we had just had a snowstorm. I stood on the back of the trailer. You sat in your cars in the parking lot. And it's the very first time I've ever been honked at during a sermon. So either that was good or bad, I still really can't tell. You know, last year was some of the most challenging, difficult times I think that any of us have been through, maybe in you know, our culture or current society. There's so many questions, so many challenges, so many things that we've walked through. And I want to thank you, as I have in the last couple of weeks, for your creativity, for your flexibility. But I have to tell you this morning, to gather together on Easter morning is one of the greatest blessings I have, not only as a pastor, but as a fellow Christian. And I'm so glad that we get to stand here and gather and worship and sing and be a part of that. Because no matter what happens in the world, we are still the body of Christ. Whether we are here or we are apart, we are still the body of Christ. And we celebrate that through the resurrection this morning. I want to begin by asking a question, as I often do. Why does Easter matter? Why does Easter matter? When we ask a question such as that, I think as we look around, Easter has become increasingly less about what Jesus did and more just about maybe getting a new outfit or a lot of candy or maybe family dinner or whatever it might be. There are so many things that people have taken Easter and kind of made it into. But there's something more important about Easter that we celebrate today. On Friday, we remember Good Friday, and we reflect on the cross. And so much about Easter, I think we kind of get stuck there. I read a story a number of years ago about an Italian mountain, a mountain in the Alps. And on this mountain is what's called the Stations of the Cross. People will travel from thousands of miles to come and to walk this path and to see the Stations of the Cross. Now, how many of you have ever been, I'm going to miss it, Zelma, you might have to help me. Where are the crosses in the Panhandle of Texas? Groom.
It's in Groom.
They're in Groom, Texas. Anybody ever been to Groom, Texas? Let me just say, it's not a metropolis. So if you go, pack water and snacks, because there's nothing else there. But one of the closest things that I can relate to the Stations of the Cross is in Groom, Texas. If you ever happen to be that direction, there's this giant cross in the middle of nowhere. But you go to the bottom of that cross, and there are the stations of what happened the week leading up to Easter Sunday. But you know, what's interesting, the story I read about these people who would journey to this mountain in the Alps, they would go and they would walk up the stations to the cross. And the story was of one tourist who noticed the trail just off from one of the crosses. And as he began to walk through brush and things that had grown up on this little trail, what he came to was a station for the empty tomb. And really, as he began to think about it, what he recognized is that so often we just kind of push beyond what happened Easter morning. We forget the tomb. We forget that on Easter morning we celebrate not only what happened on the cross, but the resurrection. That new life has been promised to us through what Jesus did. So much of the time, even as a pastor, I tend to focus so much on the cross and what happened on the cross. And Jesus dying and shedding our blood and his body being broken for the sake of our sins and the grace extended from that. But the story didn't end at the cross, did it? There's so much more to Easter than just the cross. When we think about the resurrection morning, and we'll read here in just a few moments in Luke chapter 24, that very first account of Easter Sunday. What changed, what makes Jesus so different from any other person who has ever existed is the story didn't stop at his death. The story didn't end at the point where he was crucified. This morning in our early service, we talked about expectations versus reality. Now, the closest example that I shared with them this morning is that you guys all remember the little toys that are inside of cereal boxes. You know what I'm talking about, right? Don still remembers. For those of you that were here, you said you remembered. Now, I told the story. I won't go through the whole thing. But if you want to talk about expectation versus reality, you pull a toy out of a Lucky Charms box, and your expectation is definitely not going to meet the reality of what you just pulled out of that box. Now, so much of the time when we talk about what Jesus has done for us, we struggle with the reality of what happened that first Easter morning. But you see, if Jesus had just died, he would just be equitable with a person like Buddha or Muhammad. He would have just been a good teacher, a moral person, someone who taught and people followed. But the story doesn't end there, and that's why Easter matters. I want to read this morning, starting in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 1 through verse 12. It says this: "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. 'Why are you looking for the living among the dead?' asked the men. 'He is not here, but he has been resurrected. Remember how he had spoken when you were with him in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day."' And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all the things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only linen cloths, so he went home amazed at what had happened." Now, when we read this original account of what happened on Easter morning, so many of them were still living in what had happened just a few days prior. The weight of the cross still rung sharp in their ears. Their struggle to understand what Jesus had said, and you heard in those words, it says, and they remembered what he said. In the midst of all the chaos and all of the stuff that had happened in the previous few days, maybe even fear for their own life, they had forgotten all that Jesus had prophesied. I wonder what that's like in our life. How much of the time do we allow all the chaos and turmoil to make us forget? We allow ourselves to drift and to forget the empty tomb, to forget what Jesus had said, to forget the truth of what we had seen and understood and known to be true in our lives through the promise of Christ. So much of the time we come to this point of Easter and we look at Easter and we may ask ourselves, why does it matter? I want to give us four reasons this morning why the resurrection matters, why Easter is important. See, that very first Easter morning, we see in the following verses, if you're familiar with the road to Emmaus, there are some interesting occurrences that happened following the verses we read in verses 1 through 12 of Luke 24. I'll paraphrase the story, and starting in verse 13, two disciples walking along the road to Emmaus, and they began discussing the events of what had happened. Now you can imagine that maybe it was a hushed whisper trying to make sense of all the chaos that had just occurred. And then Jesus appeared. He asked them a simple question. He says, "What is this dispute you're having with each other as you were walking?" They described who Jesus was, and they told him about Jesus being a powerful prophet in action and in word and in deed and all the things that he had done and all the amazement that had happened around Jesus. And then Jesus in verse 25, if you have your Bibles open in Luke 24, he says this. He said to them, "How unwise and slow you are to believe in your hearts all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things to enter into his glory?" Verse 31, I think for us this morning, is probably the most prolific truth. This charge as we continue to look throughout Scripture today together is this. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him. This morning when we ask the question, why does Easter matter? Will you recognize Jesus for who he is? Jesus is the reason that we can celebrate today. The cross brought us our justification. The grave gave us victory. In the grave, what we saw was our sins buried. The sin that put Jesus on the cross was buried, and then it rose again on the third day, giving us life. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 tells us this. If Christ has not been dead or has not been raised, our preaching is useless, so is your faith. See, what we see here is that the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. That the truth of what happened that first Easter morning changed life forever. So the beginning, as we look at these four things, the reasons why Easter matters, the first is this, that there is love in the resurrection. That there is love in the resurrection. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. It says this, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." See, we look at the cross in this painful example of our sin putting Jesus there. But as we heard even in our Easter program, I'm going to call it the Christmas program, so if I do, just forgive me. In our Easter program, what we heard is that truth is centrally, as we look at the cross, the life that was given for ours gave us life in turn. John 3:16, a verse that we quote often, most of us can say it with our eyes closed and backwards, and some of us probably in different languages. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but what? Have eternal life." See, we talk about why Easter matters. The central truth of what Jesus did is that he came and he showed us love. 1 John 4:9, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might have life through him." Scripture tells us that we are dead in our trespasses. Our sin has put a barrier between us and God. God, as a righteous Father, cannot look upon sin. And ultimately, through Jesus, he bore that sin on the cross. And then we have the opportunity to be in relationship with our Heavenly Father. And God loved us so much. Church, that strikes me as such a simple truth. A truth that all of us have heard probably our entire lives. That God loved us so much that he sent his only Son that we could be saved. Church, don't miss that. We talk about Easter, we get so caught up in all the details and all the excitement. Easter happened because of us. Easter is a picture of the life that Jesus now has given to us through the victory over death. 1 John 3:14 reminds us this. "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers." You see, Scripture is very clear about what life looks like after we decide to follow Jesus. Jesus reminded his disciples on the road to Emmaus. He said, "Were you not paying attention? Were you not listening to all the things that I had said to you?" Somehow along the way, we have that tendency to miss it as well. That there is love in the resurrection. That Jesus showed us love on the cross, but in the victory over death, that love is lived out. That love is lived out. Now, I could come and I could love you so much that I could give my life for you. But unfortunately, I'm not going to rise from the dead. But Jesus did. Jesus not only loved us so much that he gave his life, but he gave us victory over death in the resurrection. 1 John 3:14 again reminds us that because we love our brothers, as we live out the love of Christ, the love that Jesus has given to us is exemplified. In the resurrection, that was shown for us. The cross and the resurrection go together. Let's look again at 1 John 4:9. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This morning, church, what are we living through? What are we living for? If it's anything other than Jesus, it will only come to disappointment. The life that we have been given through the resurrection gives us new hope. Many today may be searching and striving and hungering for some source of fulfillment. The empty tomb gives life. Whatever you may be striving for, whatever you may be working towards, Easter is the answer. The resurrection exemplifies the love of Jesus. The second thing I want us to look at this morning on why Easter matters is that there is life in the resurrection. How many of you remember, now if you're from this community, remember Benny Ruff? You might remember Benny. Benny was our neighbor down here. Benny was one of the first people that I met when I came to this community. One of the reasons I met Benny, most of you probably knew Benny better than I did, but the first time I met Benny, he had walked down here and was mowing our yard. To me, that struck as odd. I walked outside, I heard a lawnmower, Benny was mowing his yard, and he came down and started mowing the church's yard. Now, Benny was one of those guys that I began to look at and had a great respect for, and many men and women have gone recently. We celebrated the life of Dorothy Sargent and so many others that I can think of that ultimately they lived life knowing Christ, and that knowledge of Christ changed how they interacted with the world around them. See, the resurrection gives us not only perspective on eternal life, but life here on earth. When we look at what it means for us to die, ultimately, as believers, we know that that's not the end. For those that very first Easter morning, they looked and they thought the cross was it. But then a few short days later, Jesus changed everything as God raised his Son from the dead. We see life. In the midst of that life, we are called to live that out. Look at Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. It says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection." We will be united with Jesus in his resurrection life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creation. The old has gone where? It's gone away and the new has come." See, church, there is life in the resurrection. The simple picture of an egg, as we talk with the children, that egg is open. It doesn't go back in. That egg, that life continues, it grows, it flourishes. You see, that empty tomb gave us life. Romans 8:11 said, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." You see, church, this morning as we celebrate Easter, that's the offer given to us. That through what Jesus did on the cross and the victory he gave in the resurrection, we have the opportunity for new life. Now, some of you may have known Jesus since Noah came over on the ark. That's not a possibility, just to let you know. I heard a new one this week. I'm going to use it, since Jesus was making cabinets. That's a new one. I'll tell you later who shared that one with me. But some of us think, well, I've just been a Christian so long. What is that change about my life now? Some of you may have yet to receive Jesus. Some of you may have yet to come to that place where you come before Him, you acknowledge your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe this morning that's the decision you need to make. Maybe you need to come and receive life through Jesus. Maybe you've known Jesus for a long time. And maybe you just allowed the life of the world around you to overtake you, to overwhelm you, to beat you over the point to where you no longer feel life. Maybe today we need to come back to the truth of why Easter matters. The third thing this morning I want us to look at is that there is hope in the resurrection. We live in a world to where things seem hopeless. We've all been in situations and scenarios where we've struggled with what tomorrow looks like. How am I going to handle this situation, not just today, but a week from now? So many of us struggle with this picture of hope. You can imagine that first Easter morning as they walk to the tomb. Can you imagine how hopeless they must have felt? Those women had gathered, they had come and prepared spices to take to Jesus to anoint His body. As they walked, they just realized that they had committed their life, and now the man that they believed to be the Messiah was dead. You can imagine all of us have had those hard walks in our life, haven't we? We've all had those moments where it was hard to take the next step because we had lost hope. See, but what they found that first Easter morning and that central truth as we look in verse 5, it says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Church, that's why we have hope. Because not even the grave could contain our Savior. That's the reason we have hope, is that ultimately we are sealed with Christ. We have been given life and love through Him. And because of that, we have a new hope as we walk through this life He has called us to. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. The final thing this morning I want us to remember is because He lives, we have hope. And because of that hope, we have power. Church, there is power in the resurrection. So many of us just take it as a truth, and we almost look at it as something just compulsory. We don't really think about the details of what happened and the weight of the cross and the power given in the resurrection. But Paul reminds us, the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14, by His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will also raise us. Church, I don't know what battle you're fighting this morning. I don't know what issue you're struggling with. Maybe today you find yourself hopeless, hurting, searching. Know that there is power in the resurrection. Now, I want you to be clear. Hear this clearly. I'm not a name it and claim it sort of guy. But we have to realize that through the resurrection, we have been given new life. And there are times where we have to make the decision to cling to the power of the resurrection. So often the world, the enemy, will try to distort and twist and manipulate all these things around us to try to distract us, to draw us away from the truth that we know. But in the resurrection, those lies were defeated. In the resurrection, we have new life through Jesus. I want to share one more story with you this morning. A story that maybe you are familiar with. It's about a communist leader in 1930. This communist leader journeyed from Moscow to Kiev. His mission was to address a huge assembly on the subject of atheism. For a solid hour, he aimed heavy arguments and discussion against the truth of Christianity, hurling insult after insult on top of ridicule. At last, he was finished and viewed what he thought to be a smoldering heap of ruined men's faith. He smugly asked one question. Are there any questions? He waited, and and stood. And then a solitary man arose and asked permission to speak. He mounted the platform, moved closely to the communist. The audience was breathless and silent as the man surveyed the crowd, first from left and then to right. And at last, he shouted, "Christ is risen. Christ is risen." The vast assembly arose as one man, and the response came crashing like a sound of the ocean. "He is risen indeed." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, thankful that we can cling to that truth as well. That he is risen indeed. God, no matter where we may be this morning, no matter what we may be walking through, we know that there is life, love, and hope, and power in the resurrection. God, all the lies that may be hurled at us, all the doubt that can be cast in our direction, Lord, we cling to the truth that the resurrection, the new life given to us through what Christ did, the defeat of death, carries us through those things. God, I pray as we go from this place that we would live as new creations. God, I pray for one in this room who may not know you yet, who's struggling with life, who's questioning hope, who feels that they are powerless and without love. God, I pray today would be the day that they make the decision to come and follow you. God, I pray for those of us who have followed you for so long. God, I pray that you would renew our hope in you. God, that you would renew your power in our lives. God, that we would no longer live as creatures of fear, but that we would live out your love and the new life that you have given to us through Christ. God, I thank you this morning that we can stand and proclaim the truth that he is risen indeed. That the tomb couldn't hold him. The grave wasn't strong enough. The cross wasn't painful enough. But God, he bore our sins and he rose again, giving us new life. God, help us to live that life as we go from this place this morning. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray.